death toll in Gaza rises to more than 31,000 as the U.S.-Israel genocide rages. Most of those killed are women and children. Lebanon's resistance fighters target Israeli-occupied territories with dozens of rockets in retaliation for the killing of four members of one family. Plus, the U.S. President's bid to build a port for Gaza and distance himself from Netanyahu are regarded as a whitewashing campaign. Good to have you with us. More than 5 months into the Israeli genocide in the Gaza Strip, the regime is pushing ahead with deadly onslaught on the territory. The latest airstrike hit an area west of Khan Yunis, killing at least 15 people and injuring dozens more. The area is used by displaced people to set up tents. The Israeli military targeted several locations in Gaza. One of them was an air raid that hit a 12-story residential tower in the southern city of Rafah, making dozens of families homeless. According to the health ministry in Gaza, Israeli forces committed 8 massacres against Palestinian families over the past day, killing at least 85 civilians and injuring 130 others. The overall death toll since October 7th has risen to more than 31,000, most of them women and children. Thousands more are also missing and feared dead. Mutia Abu Musaba was with us earlier with more details about the latest Israeli strikes in the Gaza Strip.
Israeli genocide is still persistent here in the Gaza Strip with more airstrikes and more bloodshed and more destruction, actually. Let's begin from Deir al-Balah city and the central area of Gaza Strip generally. In Deir al-Balah city, two residential buildings were destroyed by those airstrikes in Al-Birka neighborhood, which is located in the southern part of Deir al-Balah city. At least 5 Palestinian civilians were reportedly killed while dozens were injured. In addition to that, the Israeli warplanes also carried out several fire pellets against the southern part of Deir al-Balah city. When it comes to Al-Nusayrat refugee camp, at least 3 residential buildings were completely destroyed by the Israeli warplanes, in addition to multiple stores and warehouses. They were completely destroyed, and a big fire engulfed those stores and warehouses in Al-Nusayrat refugee camp. When it comes to Khan Yunis city, the Israeli occupation forces committed an appalling massacre by targeting the tents of the displaced Palestinians in Al-Mawasi area, which is located, as you know, between Deir al-Balah city and Khan Yunis city, and it was claimed by the Israeli occupation forces as a safe area. Now the Israeli occupation forces directly target that area, killing at least 37 Palestinian civilians of those displaced Palestinians who sought refuge in that area.
Now, tensions remain high along Lebanon's southern border. Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah has fired a barrage of rockets into northern Israeli-occupied territories. Hezbollah says it targeted the Meron settlements with dozens of Katyusha rockets. The attack was in support of the Palestinians and the resistance in Gaza and retaliation for the Israeli raids on Lebanese civilians. In the latest attacks on southern Lebanon, 5 civilians, including 4 members of the same family, were killed. Hezbollah and Israel have been engaged in clashes since the regime launched its genocidal war on Gaza. Our correspondent in Beirut, Mariam Saleh, joined us earlier and told us about the latest exchange of fire between the Israeli army and Hezbollah fighters.
Actually, everybody was waiting. We knew that there would be a retaliation from Hezbollah after the massacre that took place in the town of Kharbet Salem. We know the entire house was destroyed over the heads of an entire family. We're talking about 4 people, and there are reports also that a 5th person was also killed. We have at least 8 people wounded who were near that that house specifically. But we do have, like you said, a woman who was pregnant along with her two sons and her husband who were killed by this Israeli attack. The Israelis have also clearly said in their reports that they targeted a family, and they called them a Hezbollah family, which is quite ironic how they call a family, the mother, the father, and children, as a Hezbollah family, as if there is a difference between the rest of the families in South Lebanon, which is, of course, ridiculous considering this statement when people look at it. Now, awaiting this retaliation, some people wondered why it had taken so long. Usually Hezbollah does attack the Miron base or very significant targets after there is a huge massacre like this one. We do know, or we know from eyewitnesses, that there were around 36 Katyusha rockets that were fired from South Lebanon on the western side of the border. We know that this was the first round. The second round included another dozen rockets at least. No one saw any of those rockets being intercepted by a Patriot rocket, those rockets that are usually used by the Iron Dome system from the Israelis. And so we know from the Israelis as well, from amateur videos surrounding the area of Meroun specifically, that the rockets did hit their target. And just to a reminder of the significance of the Meroun base, we're talking about the highest mount in all of occupied Palestine. This is supposed to be a radar that would give early warnings of the launching of either rockets by the resistance or even drones. And it seems that that radar itself was inoperable or unable to protect itself, or unable to give any warnings of the fact that there would be rockets.
U.S. President Joe Biden draws red lines for Israel on the Gaza onslaught, but he pledges not to abandon support for the regime. Biden told MSNBC that an Israeli incursion to Rafah in southern Gaza would be a red line, but the U.S. President added that he has no red lines as regards the delivery of weapons to Tel Aviv. The Biden administration has given Israel unconditional support in its five-month genocide in Gaza. That includes using its veto power in the UN Security Council three times to block calls for an end to the genocide. The U.S. claims this is to allow Israel to counter Hamas, but facts on the ground show Washington's complicity in the regime's killing of more than 31,000 Palestinians. Pro-Palestine ralliers have held yet another demonstration in the Canadian city of Calgary against the U.S. Israeli genocidal war on the Gaza Strip.
Ceasefire now! Ceasefire now!
Now, the protesters waved Palestinian flags and shouted slogans in support of Gazans. They denounced the West, particularly the U.S., for complicity in the Israeli genocide, saying that a regime cannot continue its crimes without such support. The protesters also called for immediate ceasefire in the Palestinian territory. Since the beginning of the Israeli regime's onslaught on Gaza, Canadians have staged several rallies in support of Palestinians. Similar events were held in several other countries across the world.
More than 5 months of major demonstrations, and they're as energized as ever. Hundreds of thousands of pro-Palestinian protesters from across the UK marching to the American embassy to deliver a message.
Shame on you, Joe Biden, shame on you.
That message is much for the US president as for the UK government.
The majority of people want a ceasefire now, and it's not even a big ask. What are they asking? For humanity and stop killing innocent children and people.
On the stage near the American embassy, Welsh singer Charlotte Church combines Welsh and Arabic words for a song of solidarity, followed by an all-woman cast of speakers marking the International Women's Day and the resilience of Palestinian women. As ever, it's an eclectic mix of groups and organizations, out in great numbers in defiance of attempts by the government to criminalize these overwhelmingly peaceful demonstrations.
We're here to say to the government that we aren't going to be stopped. These aren't hate marches. And we have Jewish blocs, we have Jewish people who march with us in solidarity and who march with us and say not in their name.
The war on Gaza and the UK's support for it has deeply polarized British society. and that's already manifesting itself in the way people are voting. A case in point, the by-elections in Rochdale, Greater Manchester in late February, which handed veteran pro-Palestine campaigner George Galloway of the Workers' Party of Britain a landslide victory against the major party candidates.
But we know there's a whole body of people for whom issues of international justice and rights and Britain's position in the world and whether it shows respect for human rights and international law matter. And there are certain constituencies where the issue of does Britain support and protect the rights of the Palestinian people is of particular resonance.
This was the fifth national demonstration of the year, and organizers say there will be more.
While the civilians in Gaza say they feel that their plight is being ignored, the millions of people here and around the world are saying that they are making sure through their protests that the Palestinians know that their cries are being heard. Saipur is up, London.
If there was any concern that pro-Palestinians in France were starting to lose interest in the five-month-long attempted genocide of Gaza by Israel, one of the nation's largest demonstrations since the start of the invasion put that idea to rest. Many thousands converged in the capital for a passionate denunciation of President Emmanuel Macron, the leaders of the Pan-European Project, and all of Israel's war supporters across the West.
If France must stay in Europe, then Europe must respect our demands, and we demand that they stop protecting the terrorist state of Israel. Hamas is not a terrorist group. They are a resistance group, and the United Nations refuse to label them terrorists. Palestinians have the right to resist, to exist, and to be free.
In what many say is an illustration of the West's deadly hypocrisy, at least five children were killed by airdropped food aid from Western nations and their allies.
This week, more than 200 members of European Union Parliament called for an arms embargo on Israel. They said that by remaining silent on Gaza, Europe has no credibility to speak on Russia's actions in Ukraine. Germany now provides 28% of Israel's military imports.
Israeli settler attacks in the West Bank have almost tripled since October to 9 per day. Israeli troops continue to open fire on starving Palestinians seeking food aid and also on United Nations troops in Lebanon. Some 31,000 Gazans have been killed and over 72,000 Gazans wounded, all leaving marchers in disbelief that the West continues to support Israel without conditions or consequences.
It's scandalous. France is charged with defending international law, and it even has a United Nations Council veto to do so, but it only defends Israel instead. I am not asking France to bomb Tel Aviv. I am asking them to uphold humanity's laws with very simple sanctions that could be put in place on Tel Aviv immediately.
Even with the holy month of Ramadan starting next week, Israel has rejected yet another plan for a ceasefire. Many say it's a new low for Tel Aviv.
One must respect the humanity of others, and normally during Ramadan there's a ceasefire to allow people to live their religion in peace. And yet Israel wants to keep murdering babies by starvation during Ramadan? It's scandalous and unacceptable. There must be a ceasefire.
Paris claimed that their forces have destroyed four Yemeni drones in the Gulf of Aden that were heading towards a European Union naval operation, as Israel's invasion edges closer to a larger regional conflict. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
A genocide is taking place in Gaza amid international silence. 15 Italian lawmakers who have recently visited the Rafah border in southern Gaza say an international reaction to avoid the aggravation of a humanitarian catastrophe in Rafah is desperately needed. They had left Italy for Egypt earlier this week with a goal to provide the Italian government with a testimony of the tragedy the Palestinians are experiencing as a result of Israel's crimes. Here is what they have to say about their experience.
È un chiaro intento Israel's cruel actions in Gaza are based on a clear genocidal intent, refusing to allow water, food, medicine, and humanitarian supplies is equivalent to exterminating an entire population. Palestine must be immediately recognized as a state, and a reconstruction plan is urgently needed.
We saw thousands of trucks waiting at the border with Rafah, as farming is ravaging Gaza. Trucks are not allowed to go through because Israel is stopping them. We are certain that a humanitarian catastrophe is unfolding.
We have met Palestinian kids with their legs amputated in an Italian hospital in Cairo as Israel continues to commit crimes against humanity in Gaza. There is only one person who should be held accountable for the situation there, Netanyahu and his regime.
So far, the Italian government has unrelentingly sided with the Israeli regime. This despite hundreds of pro-Palestine demonstrations having been held across Italy over the past months. Meanwhile, on Saturday, a new demonstration was organized here in Rome by a string of humanitarian organizations, charities, and unions calling for an immediate end to Israel's genocide in Gaza. The initiative is also calling on Italian institutions to protect the right to freedom of assembly and freedom of expression and opinion in Italy.
It is essential to protect and promote dissenting voices. The use of force by our authorities will not stop the course of history. Upholding the rule of law is the only way to ensure peace.
On Saturday, Rome was once again flooded by tens of thousands of people from across the country calling on the international community to hold Israel accountable for its systematic violations under international law and to continue supporting the United Nations agency aiding Palestinian refugees, UNRWA. A demonstration in solidarity with Palestinians was also held in Milan. Max Civili, Rome.
And that report brings us to the end of this newscast.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
Tell a little about yourself.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of life.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, March 10th, 2024. I'm Atefa Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Tell us which program or programs at IRIB English Radio you like the best. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Welcome back. This is another edition of Listeners Special, and here we've received reception reports from around the world from Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh, Anand Mohan Brain from India has sent us reception report, and from Finland we've received a reception report from Juha Vayer, one of our old and regular listeners. As you may know, these reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers, because these reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. And all of you who have sent in reception reports will be receiving electronic QSL cards. And here we've received an email from Anand Mohan Bain from India, as he sent us a piece of reception report. Juha Vayer from Finland has sent us a piece of email. And from Turkey, we've received an email from Volkan Atasevier. Stay with us, please. I will be back with you. Before I go back to your emails and letters, I just wanted to tell you that in this edition of Listeners Special, I'm going to talk about a very special place in Sistan and Balochistan, a tourist attraction in this province. In the past, there were big cities in the world, which used to be very advanced places for life and work. They were so advanced that no one could ever imagine that once they become empty of people. One of these cities is the ancient Shahre Sukhte in southeastern Iran, in Sistan and Balochistan province, which archaeologists consider it as the world's first city in terms of urban texture, population, and urban planning. The civilization of Shahre Sukhte is one of the wonders of the ancient world. And for your information, Shahre Sukhte in English means the burnt city. So, the archaeological findings in this area testify to the emergence of the first human settlements in eastern Iran. Shahre Sukhte, meaning burnt city, which dates back to more than 5,000 years ago, is one of the heritages of Iran. It is located near Zabol Road to Zahedan in Sistan and Balochistan province, which is located in southeastern Iran. The city was built in 3200 BC, and people were living in four eras between 3200 to 1800 BC. The total area of the city is 280 hectares and is divided into residential, central, and industrial area, as well as cemetery and monuments. So we will get back to the information about Shahre Sukhte in Sistan and Balochistan province, but for the time being, let's see what Juha Vayer from Finland says. Juha Vayer is one of our old and regular listeners who says, "Dear friends, I have a great pleasure to inform you that I have heard your broadcasting on SW Band. I enclose my reception report as an attachment with this email. I hope so much that you could answer me, and if it's possible, send a verification if you find that report is correct. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Juha Vayer from Finland. Thank you very much for sending this email to IRIB English Radio and listeners' special program. An electronic QSL will be sent to you as verification to this email. Juha Bayer from Finland, write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. We wish you all the best. So after a short break, I will be back with you. And you just heard a piece of music from Sistan and Balochistan province, which I think it was very beautiful. And guess what? The residential area of the city, I mean Shahr-e-Sukhte, located in Sistan and Balochistan province, is 80 hectares where people lived in this part at that time. There were various industries such as textile, masonry, jewelry, etc. in this city, which made it one of the most advanced cities in the world. 12 kinds of fabric are found among the ruins of the Shahr-e-Sukhte that indicate the textile industry of the city. It's so great! The world's first known artificial eyeball with two holes in both sides and a golden thread to hold it in place has been unearthed from the skeleton of a woman's body in Shahr-e-Sukhte. There was a well-managed pottery system in the city for water supply and sewage. Shahr-e-Sukhte was registered in the UNESCO World Heritage List in June 2014. And that's really great. Archaeologists have found traces of cloth in the graves located in Shahr-e-Sukhte. These fabrics were used either for wrapping the dead or in the form of underlays and covers. Many times ago, that's happened many times ago. In these graves, many pottery objects have been discovered. One of these well-known pottery artifacts is a pottery vessel with a drawing of a goat and a tree. Giving the vessel a spin, one would see a goat leaping to snatch leaves from a tree. This may be recognized as the first animation movie in the world. Great. So let's see what Anand Mohan Bain from India says. Anand Mohan Bain is one of our old and regular listeners from India who says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, I am Anand Mohan Bain, an old listener of yours. I regularly listen to the programs and send the reception reports. The radio sometimes sounds good, but sometimes the reception is very bad. I hope my reception report will be useful for your technicians." Salam, Anand Mohan, and warm greetings from Tehran, Iran. Many thanks for writing to us. We welcome your views about the quality of our programs because your views actually help us promote the quality of the broadcast. So you said the radio sometimes sounds good, but sometimes the reception is very bad. So we inform our engineers and technicians about this trouble, and we hope that they will fix it very soon. So, Anand Mohan Bain from India, please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation to this email. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Welcome back. This is another edition of Listeners Special, and we were talking about the Shahr-e-Sukhte in Sistan and Balochistan province. You might have asked yourself why this is called the Burnt City, the Shahr-e-Sukhte. Researchers say Shahr-e-Sukhte used to be an industry which had a lot of furnaces. Therefore, ash was found due to the activity of industrial furnaces around the city. And when archaeologists first spotted ash in this city, came to the idea to call this city Shahr-e-Sukhte, literally the burnt city. Actually, the real name of this city is not clear yet. The wonders of Shahr-e-Sukhte are a lot, and researchers are still studying about this ancient city. One of the most significant conclusions derived from these findings is that the inhabitants of Shahr-e-Sukhte had been really civilized and peace-seeking people. Just imagine, it happened many years ago in Iran. Yes, our beautiful Iran is, of course, full of wonders and beauties. So, let's see what Volkan Atasevir from Turkey says. Dear IRIB English Radio, I am a computer engineer, writer, poet, and collector. I'm also an amateur radio operator and a radio listener. Radio communication and shortwave radio also contribute to my professional knowledge. I want a QSL card from your radio station. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm grateful to you, Volkan from Turkey, for sending this email to IRIB English Radio. So, you're a computer engineer and writer, poet and collector. Nice job. You're very talented. We wish you luck, Volkan Atasevir from Turkey. Please accept our electronic QSL as verification to this email. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. Well, time tells me we have to wrap up this edition of Listeners Special, but before saying goodbye to you, I just wanted to send my warm appreciations and gratitude to those of you who have kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters from around the world, including Juha Vair from Finland, Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh, Anand Mohan Bain from India, and Volkan Atasevir from Turkey. Many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with us. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction into Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, the constant battle between good and evil. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It's an honor to be here, dear friends. We're talking about Islamic lifestyle, and we are talking about the constant battle between good and evil. Now, this is something that is really very ultra macrocosmic, right? We find that it is true when it comes to the historical aspect of humanity, we find that there is this great battle between good and evil. But when we're talking about Islamic lifestyle, it's kind of important for us to get out of this cosmic battle of good and evil and kind of move towards this very personal and very practical battle between good and evil in our own daily life, in our own Islamic lifestyle. Now, we have to keep in mind here that yes, this is a constant battle, a battle between us as a human being that are trying to attain perfection, that are trying to attain a pure and blessed Islamic lifestyle. This is on one hand, and on the other hand, it is this complete enmity of Satan, and this complete enmity of the satanic forces, and their purpose is to take us away and prevent us from achieving that Islamic lifestyle and prevent us from achieving that ultimate perfection which Allah the Almighty has ordained for us. So now we see and we understand this battle between good and evil that is happening on a very personal level for every single one of us. Welcome back. This is A to Z on IRIB English Radio. So we are talking about this great battle between good and evil. You know, we said how, yes, there is a cosmic battle between good and evil that is happening, but there's also a very personal level of this battle that's happening with every single one of us. And that is us as a human being trying to attain this ultimate perfection which the Almighty God has ordained for every single one of us. And it is the Almighty Allah which has provided the means for us to be able to attain this ultimate perfection, this eternal happiness, both in this world and the next. But of course, whether it is out of pride or jealousy or perhaps a whole various different host of reasons, Satan and the satanic forces, on the other hand, they tried their best to prevent us from attaining that perfection. And as we said, maybe it's arrogance, maybe it is jealousy, maybe God knows what it is. But what is definitely sure is that they want to prevent us from attaining perfection. And so this is the constant battle between good and evil that we face ourselves. This constant desire for us to attain perfection, to become moral, virtuous human beings, and for us to be able to manifest these moral teachings, this wise behavior, this ultimate attainment of a perfect Islamic lifestyle. And on the other hand, of course, are these evil and base desires, or these evil and base aspect that if it is not under balance, it will surely take us towards immoral and perverse behavior, which is, of course, what the forces of evil want us to do. So just always keep fighting and always have faith in Allah and always ask help from Allah, and we will be able to, on a very personal level, win the battle on behalf of the side of good in our Islamic lifestyle.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
In the limelight.
Members of two Palestinian families have filed a criminal complaint against German leaders for aiding and abetting the Zionist regime's genocide in Gaza. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. The Electronic Intifada wrote, lawyers acting on behalf of two Palestinian families have requested that German federal prosecutors investigate Chancellor Olaf Scholz, Vice Chancellor Robert Habeck, Foreign Minister Annalena Baerbock, and Finance Minister Christian Lindner, among other officials, for providing the Zionist regime with weapons and political support and failing in their obligation to prevent Israel from committing genocidal acts. In a historic ruling in January, the International Court of Justice, ICJ, found that Israel is accused of committing genocide in Gaza and ordered a halt to all its potentially genocidal acts, a decision the Zionist regime has ignored. Lawyers for the Palestinian families said recently, German criminal law requires a ground for initial suspicion to start investigations on a potential crime being committed. The ICJ ruling clearly showed that there is such ground for initial suspicion when it comes to the crime of genocide against the Palestinian people in Gaza. The lawyer said that Germany has shown some of the strongest political and material support to Israel in its assault on the Gaza Strip and the Palestinians, with many German officials also inciting to genocide in their statements since October 2023. The case is being brought by the European Legal Support Center, PIPD, that is Palestine Institute for Public Diplomacy and Law for Palestine, through organizations that are part of the Palestinian-led Justice and Accountability for Palestine initiative. Nora Ragab, one of the plaintiffs, said, "We, the living, must remember the dead in Gaza, tell their stories, and fight for justice. We, Palestinians in the diaspora, will not stand by and watch a genocide being committed against our families and our people. I lost family members in Gaza in November 2023. They were executed by the Israeli military while they were defending their homes," Ragab told a press conference in Berlin recently. German federal prosecutors have a history of shielding accused Israeli war criminals from justice, such as their refusal to properly investigate the Zionist regime's killing of a Palestinian German family in Gaza in 2014. But against the background of the ICJ decision, there may be growing international momentum to finally bring an end to this impunity. In a landmark ruling this month, for instance, a court in the Netherlands ordered the Dutch government to stop sending parts for US-made F-35 warplanes to the Zionist regime. And a federal judge in the United States accepted that the American government was aiding and abetting what he considered genocide in Gaza, but dismissed the case against Biden administration officials over their complicity in these crimes on jurisprudential grounds. Najia Samour, a lawyer on the German case who works for the European Legal Support Center, said, "Our governments in Europe have a legal obligation not to provide Israel any support in perpetrating the current genocide against the Palestinian people in Gaza. This lawsuit sends a clear message to German officials. You cannot continue to remain accomplices of such crime without consequences. We want accountability." Germany has made no secret of its full support for the Zionist regime's attack on Palestinians in Gaza, justifying Israel's genocidal barbarity and opposing calls for an immediate ceasefire. Chancellor Scholz and Foreign Minister Baerbock gave unqualified early support for the Zionist regime's massive indiscriminate attacks on Palestinians. Scholz, Habeck and Baerbock have invoked the claim of Holocaust as a reason not to oppose the Zionist regime's genocide in Gaza, but to actually support it. Baerbock has also spread lies used by the Zionist regime to justify its direct and deliberate attacks on civilians. In its zeal to allow the Zionist regime's extermination in Gaza to proceed unabated, Germany opposed South Africa's application to the International Court of Justice that resulted in January's historic order to Tel Aviv to hold all genocidal acts. That prompted Hage Geingob, the president of Namibia, whose people were the first victims of a German genocide in the early 20th century, to admonish Berlin. Geingob, who died in early February, denounced Berlin's shocking decision to reject the morally upright indictment brought forward by South Africa before the International Court of Justice that Israel is committing genocide against Palestinians in Gaza. Geingob said, "In light of Germany's inability to draw lessons from its horrific history, the shocking decision to reject the morally upright indictment brought forward by South Africa before the International Court of Justice that Israel is committing genocide against Palestinians in Gaza." Germany has done more than cheer the Zionist regime's genocide from the sidelines. Between October 7th and early November, Berlin officials approved more than $300 million worth of military sales to Tel Aviv regime. That's 10 times more than Germany's arms sales to Israel for the whole of 2022. In a video posted by the German War Ministry on October 19th, days before the Zionist regime's ground invasion that would dramatically escalate its genocidal violence and destruction, War Minister Boris Pistorius assured his Israeli counterpart, Yoav Gallant, that Berlin would provide the Zionist regime continued military support. Meanwhile, Berlin bragged that it had begun a military airlift to Israel. At Christmas, members of the Luftwaffe, Germany's Air Force, even distributed traditional seasonal cakes to forces of Israel's Golani Brigade. The Germans evidently wanted to reward the Golani forces for perpetrating genocide against starving Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. And this all flows from long-standing military cooperation between Berlin and the genocidal regime in Tel Aviv. For instance, the German military has previously boasted that it trains German troops in Israel to use Israeli-built drones that have been tested by killing Palestinians. Since October 7th, the German military has returned at least two of its Israeli-built drones to Israel to allow them to be used in the genocide in Gaza.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say La ilaha illallah. Never forget to say La ilaha illallah.
RIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more.
You're listening to Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Ammar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. We've been discussing in the Hadith of qualities of Shia mentioned by Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, where he mentioned a couple of points, and we are going to continue discussing on other points. The first point was Wara, and then Ijtihad, and then Ahlul Wafa. We discuss about these points, but the next point is Al-Amana wa Ahlul Zuhud. Amana means the person who is very honest. In the time of Imam Sadiq, someone came to Imam Sadiq and asked, Ya Imam, O son of Rasulullah, how should be introduced among others as Shia? Imam held up his fingers and said, if people put fingers on you saying that, look at him, he is the true follower of Imam Sadiq. That much, if you're at that extent, if you're nice people, if you're good people, that people will point out on you saying that he is, look at him, he is the follower of Imam Ja'far Sadiq, then you can say you are the follower of Imam Sadiq. Means you have to be known with all those good qualities. You know that one have to have that qualities. So other quality has been mentioned in this hadith is mu'min has to be ahlul amana. You have to be very honest. You have to be very trustworthy. If someone gives you some word, if someone gives you some money, if someone gives you some wealth, if someone gives you in your protection or in your home, his family says, okay, I'm my friend, I'm traveling, keep my family with you for a week, or keep this money with you, or keep this thing with you, or this is my word, don't tell to anyone. That means you are not going to do any khiyana. You have to prove yourself that you are trustworthy. Others can trust you. Imam Sadiq in another hadith says, when your whole tribe can trust on you and say, without any other considerations, that like you are a Muslim or you are not Muslim, if others consider you as a loyal person, then you are truly mu'min. Then you are truly mu'min. Truly mu'min means everybody in your tribe, in your friends, in your community can trust on you. When you are totally trustworthy, then you can say, I'm a mu'min. And then next point Imam is discussing in this hadith is saying, you have to be Ahl al-Zuhud. Ahl al-Zuhud means, we have a lot of belongings in this world, but we live with what we need, and that's it. If you need, like, you have 5 cars, you have a special car for your weekends. No, leave that car. If you need 1 car, which is enough for you, live with the least. So when you try to live with the least, that means you have a lot, but you are always ready to share your blessings with others. This is the meaning of Zuhud. Means if you have extra stuff, whatever it is, if you have extra stuff, share with others, give it to others, let others enjoy with your blessings. And 1 car is enough for you, few dresses good for you, few pair of shoes is good for you, few books is good for you, whatever you need, if you are ready to survive with that, that means you are man of Zuhud. And this was the quality of Salman Farsi, this was the quality of Abu Zar Ghaffari, this was the quality of Ammar bin Yasir. All mostly followers of Ahlul Bayt, like Asbaq ibn Nubata, like others, they lived with the least. And living with the least necessary things, it means you are man of Zuhud. These are the other two qualities which have been discussed by Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam in this hadith. Be always man of amana and zod, inshaAllah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Ammar in the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Doing us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.